I'd like to start this message by doing a little bit of time travel. So if you would, you know, join me right now and just stepping back in time as we imagine what that day would have looked like in AD 33. Imagine that you're a Jewish mom at the market. You can see the slide here. It's loud, it's busy. People are in a hurry and picking up their groceries before sundown when Passover begins. They're already starting to smell the roasted meat that's coming from the temple. As you're haggling there, as you're standing there haggling with the merchant over the price of his pears, you hear shouts of, "Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is he who has come in the name of the Lord." What's going on? What's all the commotion about? People are waving palm branches and throwing down their shawls and coats. And then you see him, this man riding on a donkey. What's the big deal? It's just a guy on a donkey. You think he would be happy with all the praise and adulation that he's receiving. But he looks sad, maybe a little weepy. A woman next to you notices your puzzlement and says, "Do you not know who that is? That's Jesus. He's a great rabbi, a miracle worker. I was there when he raised his friend Lazarus from the grave. It was unbelievable. And now he's here in Jerusalem. How have you not heard about him?" You know, recently, the Academy of Motion Pictures of Arts and Sciences hosted their annual awards ceremony, which we commonly now know as the Oscars. It's quite the affair as Hollywood royalty gathered to recognize the very best films of the past year. Well, this year's Oscar awards were particularly significant because of this year's winners. And you have a picture there. And that's the cast for the movie Everything Everywhere All at Once, which won for Best Film, and was apparently one of the first times an all-Asian cast in this movie basically won for, because of the fact that it was an all-Asian cast. The lady in white there, her name is Michelle Yeoh, and she won for Best Actress, and so she would be the first Asian person to ever win an Oscar. And fun fact, Michelle Yeoh is also from Malaysia too, so we're really proud. Like, woohoo! It's awesome. And then we have Ki-hae Kwan, who also won for Best Supporting Actor. And some of you might be asking, well, who's Ki-hae Kwan? And he's the man standing over on the far right in front of Jamie Lee Curtis. And sometimes some of us might be saying, well, how have you not heard about him? Well, he's a child actor from the 80s who people forgot about or had never heard about. He remained active in the industry, but just in the background. And now the unbelievable has happened. He has won an Oscar after 25 years and has actually gained the nickname the Comeback King. We like these stories of people who have struggled and overcome their challenges. You know, in BC, we have the Coast Mental Health Association, which hosts the Courage to Come Back Awards, which are given to five British Columbians who have overcome extraordinary adversity to come back and give back to their communities. It gives us hope that we too can make it, and struggles of life are only temporary. We too can have the courage to come back from adversity with hard work, patience, and a little luck. You know, in Jesus' day, life for the average Jewish person was a daily struggle. It did not help that they were living under constant oppression by the Roman government, nor expectations of the temple whose message was not one of hope, but constant guilt, appeased only by sacrifice. So Passover was one of those times in the Jewish calendar when they experienced a break from the daily grind, as they were not to work during the first 2 days of the holiday. Well, in our passage today that was read by Janet, this would be a Passover like no other, either previously nor since. And the difference at this Passover was the person of Jesus. Now we read in verse 12 and 13 that there was a wild enthusiasm over Jesus that had broken out. Thousands of Galilean pilgrims had come to the Passover, and many were witnesses of his mighty works, in particular, the raising from the dead of his friend Lazarus. If you really think about it, really, these were spectators who had come, not particularly because they wanted to celebrate Passover, but because they wanted to see what would Jesus do this time? What miracle would he perform? Now others, for them, Jesus was such a debated person that it was impossible for him to be near Jerusalem and remain unnoticed. They wanted to see what the commotion was all about, and they weren't really sure where they stood on whether or not he truly was the Son of Man or just a guy who was thinking that, you know, he was the anointed one. We learn from John's account that people had different reaction to Jesus' triumphal entry and to his death. Some were undecided. Some were unaware. Some were obviously excited. Two significant people in Jesus' life reacted differently as accounted in John's gospel. Mary anointed him with oil in preparation for his death, which in and of itself was a sacrificial act. Judas, one of his 12 disciples, was more concerned with Jesus as his golden ticket to be used to secure power and wealth, but particularly to overthrow the Roman government. Now, previously, Jesus had rejected the role of a political messiah, but perhaps the people thought that day, now was that right moment. Jerusalem is the city of the great king, and he was coming to it. Waving their palm branches, symbols of victory, the people were shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna," which means, "Please save, or save us now." Unlike the processional expected of mighty kings, verse 14 and 15 narrate for us, that Jesus rode into the city instead on a young donkey. That would have been strange. He did not ride a war horse or carry a sword or wear a crown, nor did he ride in a wheeled vehicle as did many kings, thus fulfilling Zechariah's prophecy in Zechariah 9, verse 9 and 10. "Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." And then verse 10, "I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth." Verse 16 and 19 gives us this feeling that there was a great expectation of Jesus. It was palpable. You could taste it. It was in the air. The news of the great miraculous sign that Lazarus was raised from the dead had spread throughout the city. It was a day of great popular acclaim. Perhaps this is the day. This is the day that we've been waiting for, that the prophesied Davidic king will return and restore our nation. Jesus would be the anticipated comeback king who will restore Israel to the good old days. But sadly, the disciples and the crowd had little spiritual perception. we would know, of course, and we would celebrate the true comeback king in a week from now when Christ returns. And can we again say, hallelujah! Hallelujah! That God is the great comeback king. The mention of Greeks is significant in verse 20. These were the wanderers of the ancient world and the seekers of truth. These Greeks were probably God-fearers who attended Jewish synagogues and feasts. Their coming was symbolic of the coming of Gentiles to worship God through Christ. And it is then affirmed in Jesus' statement in verse 24 and 26. Jesus uses the analogy of a kernel of wheat dying in the ground to illustrate the paradox that in death is the way of life. And so, in Jesus' case, his death would lead to the glory and life not only for himself, but also for those who followed him. Now, Passover is the annual holiday commemorating the Hebrews' liberation from slavery in Egypt and the passing over of the firstborn of the Israelites recorded in the book of Exodus. The significance of this event was the application of a lamb's blood on the doorways of their homes that the spirit of death would then pass over, thus saving their firstborn children. And then this would lead to the sacrificial rite of the Paschal lamb, or what we now know as the sacrificial lamb. And the Apostle John acknowledges at the beginning of his gospel that Jesus is the Lamb of God. John chapter 1, 29 states, "The next day he, being John the Baptist, saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" For both the Apostle John and John the Baptist, Jesus is not the comeback king to just save them from this life, but the ultimate sacrificial lamb that saves us for eternal life with God. Going back to my illustration with the Academy Awards, on the night that Kihei Kwan received his Oscar, it may have just been another remarkable win, another evening of upsets at another Academy Awards. But for me, it was significant. One, because it was the first time that an Oscar be won by an Asian minority. But secondly, as someone who watched his movies growing up in the 80s, watching movies like Goonies and Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, it was kind of sad for me to know that he went into relative obscurity for many years because there weren't very many parts for him being an Asian actor. And then to come back now into this role that he played in that movie and to be able to be, just be able to share in his joy and excitement, that was really significant. So as we enter into Holy Week, I invite us to take this week to reflect on this question. What is the significance of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem for you? Perhaps we could be like the woman who didn't know who he was. Perhaps we also could be the woman who had witnessed his miracles but not fully understood Jesus' purpose. Could we also be like the Greeks who were seeking truth, and that truth could only be found in Jesus? Or are we like the Apostle John and John the Baptist, who recognized Jesus as a lamb who is sacrificed for all of our sins because God loves us? I follow this blog written by retired pastor Stephen Cole, who states, "The significance of Jesus' triumphal entry shapes our followership of Jesus." And though this begs the question for us, as we reflect on Holy Week? Do we follow Jesus because of the temporal benefits we think he might provide for us? Or do we follow Jesus because of who he is, God's Messiah and King? Would you join me in prayer? Father God, your word is true and you are faithful. You promised salvation to the Messiah, and today we remember that Jesus fulfilled the Old Testament prophecies of our promised Redeemer. We acknowledge our need for salvation from our sins and rejoice that Jesus is our deliverer. We celebrate him today as King and ask that his kingdom come in our lives too. We praise you now and will praise you through the coming day. In Jesus' name, amen.